You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Ryan will be here later. He is flying in importantly and urgently to Cleveland as the Meadowlark Browns correspondent Thursday Night Football. He can cover Case Keenum for us tonight. He will join us later in the show from Cleveland. I want to get to the Deshaun Watson news with David Sampson because this one is problematic and fascinating. If you are someone who thinks at all about should my sports organization have any sort of morality, should it have a conscience or should it just be business? But before we get to that, Chris Cody was talking about how excited David Sampson seemed. I think you said he was jumping up and down on CBS last night.
But it was not excited. It was rage filled. I didn't even see it. It was one of those things where I scroll by it and I just see the video playing without any sound. And there was smoke coming out of his ears. And then I clicked on it and he was not happy. Late in the game, the Red Sox celebrated 7-1. They were up and they got a
home
run.
They were down 7-0, and then they did a laundry cart in, as they have all season. They put the home run hitter in a laundry cart and then run him down the dugout, and everyone's having fun. And that guy, he had to have felt ridiculous sitting in that cart down 7-0 to make it 7-1 in a pivotal game. But David, you were the joy police on that one?
So I resent that implication. I don't resemble it. I resent it. I am not the joy police. I am merely the former president of a team. It's a game five in the league championship series. It's the equivalent in a basketball game. I said it on the air. If you're up 25 or up 40 in a football game and you get a late touchdown and you're doing a touchdown dance like Icky Woods, sorry for that reference, that's embarrassing. In basketball, when you're down 13 and you have a three at the end and everyone cheers and hugs you, forget about it. This home run by Devers, it was nice. I'm happy for him, but you were down a touchdown. You're about to lose a game five when you had no business losing this series at all, and you're about to lose the series, and they put him in the cart and celebrate as though something great just happened. And I've spoken to my players about this so often, and what they've told me is so depressing that I'd like to share it with you if you'd like, Dan.
Sure, of course, but is there going to be just a generational gap here? Because young people aren't buying in on this stuff.
Oh, no, it's not a generational gap. It's a money gap. Hey, the home runs count the same in arbitration, whether you're up 7-0 or down 7-0. When you're there in the room and you're talking about stats and you're trying to pay us, no one cares. The arbitrators don't say, oh, he got a three-run home run when it was 10-0. No, that's a home run with three RBI. So it's not being cynical. That's just from a business standpoint. It's makes me insane. But from a fan standpoint, I don't want to publicly face and have the players celebrating the fact that we're losing a game.
Yeah, but they've done this all year. So you're saying in the bottom of the seventh, they should just kind of give up on the game? Like, in their minds, they could, you know, they have two more innings to play. I just don't, like, you're saying they should have punted on the game where they're trying to just stick what they've done all year and celebrate the way they have.
The part I find interesting, and David's going to have a harder time answering this, would he have been okay with it at 4-0? 5-1? Like, where does the score have to be for you to not be okay with it? 7-0?
7-0's okay in the first third of the game, right? But when you get in the later stages of the game, you hit the home run, you give some high fives, and then you get in the dugout, and then you get ready for the next at-bat. So don't say it's because they've done it all year. That's like saying, oh, we've done it all before, so we can keep doing it again. You have to have some sort of understanding of situational awareness.
I mean, 6 runs, I get it. I just think 6 runs, a good offense, the Red Sox. I mean, I just don't, I kind of get what you're saying, but like, they can't give up on the game. Like, they got to keep playing.
I didn't say they should give up
on
the game.
This is what they've done all year. Like every home run they do
that,
this.
That should be the one time, David. You think in game five, they're the worst of the playoff teams. They've gotten further than anyone expected. They're playing game five against the Astros. You think that's when, for the first time this season, they shouldn't do it at all, even though they're superstitious and they're doing it because they've always done it.
We would sit with our players and say, there's one thing we'd like you to do other than not drink and drive and other than not get arrested. We say, please act like you've been there before.
Okay, and this is generational, and it is a difference between the front office, David, and some of the young people coming up through the game. And I had the same reaction, by the way. I don't mean to condemn you. I've always been on the side of let these guys have fun. They're games. I don't care about all that stuff. Just have fun playing games. Show joy playing games. I don't care whether you're down 7-0 or, you know, the game is tied. But you don't see that what you're saying is the unwritten rules? You're doing from the front office, you're doing, I'm going to throw a baseball at your head. You are not supposed to be stealing third base up, you know, when we're up 7 runs, but you can do it when we're up 5.
So I don't agree with that. I'm perfectly fine with Alex Cora doing a hit and run up 6 runs. I want you to score as many runs as you can in the playoffs. I'd like to win the game 20-0, and I'm still not comfortable. I may put the closer in to make sure we win the game. Two totally different things. I'm talking about the type of celebration they do. That's really fun when the game's going well. That's really fun when there's a big home run or something happens that could be a momentum changer, but not from 7-0 to 7-1 in the last 2 innings of the game.
I just see it as like that's a team celebration they're doing. Like that's not, I get it if you pimp a home run because that's kind of something you're doing towards the other team. This celebration they do in the dugout is just for their team to get excited. And if that gets them going, like what if they come back and win that game? Then are we like celebrating
that? One of the best comebacks ever brought together by the laundry cart. It would have been a heroic tale of how the laundry cart got the Red Sox up 3-2, most momentous comeback in team
history. I'm with David here if it's 13-1, but I just think 7-1 is like you're one big inning away and you have two innings left.
I'm genuinely curious. I really am. Would they have done it down 26-0? What, like where does the number have to be for them not to do it?
This is not a Robert Redford situation where you're just talking about price, where everything is for sale. And the only question to Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore is how much is Demi Moore? By the way, that movie may not have aged well, but still the concept.
It may not. Okay, you get in there with the diluter of may not. So let me see. So Robert Redford purchased Demi Moore from her husband for a night. That movie.
The kind of strong takes we have David Samson around for may not have aged well.
He realized it. What happened there? I'll tell you what happened there is that he realized it when he got to the end of the sentence.
That is exactly what happened. As the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking about Indecent Proposal and the likelihood that 80% of the audience, if Jessica were here, she would tell you she may not have heard of the movie or seen the movie. So as I'm saying it, I'm thinking, all right, purchasing a woman, not ideal. But the point remains the same, which is everything is for sale. It's just a matter of negotiating price. So what you're saying is you agree at 20-1 or 26-1. That means you agree with me. We're only arguing about the score.
I would be a bit of an absolutist on all of this and just tell you, look, they don't need to respect the game and it doesn't have to be about the opponent and sacrilege. Just you can celebrate whatever you want, whenever you want. I'd be fine with it, but I understand why a front office person, like I think it's just, I'm surprised to hear you say that a little bit because you realize more than most executives that this is all entertainment.
I absolutely agree, except there are two things that are more important than entertainment. Rings and winning. And those two things come together. And at that point in the season, if you're game 14 of 162, get in the cart.
But what about some camaraderie, though? That matters in baseball. Did I say the word wrong?
Yes. No, you said it right. But Whittingham rolled his eyes at you. Fancy lad. I just saw your
rings. Rings with a Z.
Rings and winning are all that matter, not the laundry cart.
Could you please go to the videotape and take a look at Devers and take a look at his face while he was in the car?
No, they all look sad. Oh, he had. But they're going through the motions. They're like, guys, I know we're all sad right now, but we got to stay with this. We got to stay with it.
Put it on the poll. Did the Red Sox fake the orgasm last night?
Yeah,
because you're absolutely right about that. They so did. They were going through the motions. This was, you know what?
It was as sad as that could be.
My husband wants to have sex tonight, and I really don't want to, but, you know.
You don't take one for the team with a home run celebration. You take one for the team in many other circumstances, including the one you described, Levitard, but not in the cart.
Well, Devers did feel ridiculous. You could see it on his face. Like, it had to feel ridiculous, but still, if it has been ordained in the clubhouse that that's how they're going to celebrate their stupid superstition, the whole thing is ridiculous, right? The whole thing is the laundry cart is going to help us do something.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Let's get into more serious subject matter, because what happened last night with the reporting from John McClain of the Houston Chronicle saying that before the end of the week, and this seems to be something that might be leaked from Houston, you should always check where that stuff happens. The trade deadline is November 2nd. And the story comes out again that a desperate Dolphin team might have thrown up the trial balloon a couple of times to see how this would get received if Deshaun Watson was traded for. I have a lot of questions here, David, but first and foremost, what do you think happens here inside the organization right now as I'm hearing reports? Stephen Ross, 81 years old, wants to win now. They'd be giving up on Tua after 11 games. Flores on the hot seat. So you've got some self-interests where the power is. And will they swallow a principle that in that sport, no other team right now is willing to swallow in the name of, we're going to do everything to win, even if it means never mind that our quarterback is going to be in jail, possibly.
Well, the first thing we have to do is talk about the source of where the story comes from, because it's very important. When there is a local writer, so McClain is a, is that the name of the diehard guy, by the way?
Yes.
I think it may be.
Yippee-ki-yay.
John McClain, right?
Yippee-ki-yay. Yeah.
So he's getting information not from Ross or Greer. He's not getting an executive from the Dolphins who's despondent that they're looking at Watson. He's being used by the Houston Oilers to, wow, that's not the Houston Oilers.
The Texans.
What's the name of that team?
That's okay. That is Houston Oilers is even better than San Diego Chargers. It's okay. You can rebound from this. It happens.
I was about to drop a Dan Pastorini, baby.
Yes. Earl Campbell. Let's keep it moving. It's
okay,
not the 1970s Houston Oilers.
They haven't been the Houston Oilers since 1996.
Because we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. So John McClain gets the information. Here's what's going on. The Texans have no way out. So they're trying to figure, what can we do to try to get desperate teams? Because this is desperate time when you have the deadline coming up and you look at teams who are underperforming their expectations. Then you narrow it down to teams who even have a kernel of a thought of a phone call about Watson. Then you start getting the word out that this is going to happen. You do it for two reasons. One, you want Steve Ross to get lathered up. You want him to get all excited about getting Watson and turning around his 1-5 team. And two, you want any other team who sniffed Watson to think that the Dolphins are getting him so there's any possibility of increasing the current offer on the table for Watson. That's what teams do right as they're about to trade somebody.
Is there any reason that the Dolphins wouldn't simply come out and say, if indeed this wasn't so, hey, no interest. This is no, we are not doing this. We don't normally comment on these matters, but no. The reason I think it has validity is because they have not done that.
That's the only thing to look at. Imagine Tua in that clubhouse. So you've lost him now. By the Dolphins not coming out and saying that Tua is our quarterback, and we're not interested, not only are we not interested in Watson, we're not interested in anyone other than Tua being our quarterback of now and going forward. Tua knows exactly. It's not that he's on the hot seat. He knows that his organization doesn't believe in him. And whether it's Watson or they draft another one or they trade for another one, the era of Tua is over in Miami. And that is what's unbelievable. After the whole tank for Tua, he's done.
Whitty, were you alive when there were Houston Oilers?
I was 4 years old.
It should be noted that ESPN.com is reporting that these things are false, that the rumors around Tua and Deshaun Watson are false. Do what you will with the following information, because I do not know Marcel Luis Jacques, who is doing the reporting for ESPN.com.
I think it's a French name, say Louis Jacques.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was scared of the whole thing. I was wandering around it like it had landmines around it. I don't know who that is, but he's only been with ESPN for a couple of months.
It's actually Markel.
John McClain.
What are you doing?
John McClain has been sitting here since Tuesday, and that's the first time he's decided to speak. Thank you. We woke him from a slumber here. John McClain has been with the aforementioned Houston Oilers for a long time, and that's where that report is coming from. But David, when you see what is happening here, does a sports organization, you didn't care very much about PR, you took hits more than most executives were willing. Does a corporation, a sports team, have a responsibility to apply morality?
No. Our responsibility is to win games. The only question that has to be answered is whether or not he's able to be active. Because if he's going to be suspended for a year, Steve Ross is not buying green bananas, right? So he has not won. I got to Florida in 2002. I'm almost positive the Dolphins have not won a playoff game since I started in Florida.
You're correct,
right, Chris?
David. Yes.
So Steve Ross, since he's taken over, and that was probably in 08, so he's not a young owner anymore, and I don't mean in age. He's an octogenarian, but he's been around the game now for 15 years. Doesn't even have a playoff win. So if he has a chance to get one, I believe that he would be willing, notwithstanding the fact that he's the sort of landlord he is at Related Company, notwithstanding all that, he'd be willing to do anything he can to get victories. Therefore, he's got to ask Goodell whether or not Watson can be activated.
David, you said that sports organizations don't have an obligation for morality in their transactions, but when the Myers-Leonard thing happened, you were pretty adamant that there's zero tolerance and that guy's got to go. Where's the
line? He stinks.
But at the time, if I recall correctly, we said, well, what if it was LeBron? And you said, doesn't matter. And, excuse me, so
$5.
That's a fine.
Can I PayPal you guys? So where's the line for you as far as where it kicks in? And I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to figure out where that changes for you.
No, I mean, I appreciate that. So Myers-Leonard, as you recall, actually said words out of his mouth. It's not that he was accused of something. It's not that there was hearsay. It was something that he actually said that to me went too far, because I admit it. I'm Jewish, and it offended me down to my core. What Watson did, he has been accused. There are 79 lawsuits out there. There are women everywhere who says that he is inappropriate. He's been investigated, but there's been no action yet. He has been sued, but there's no action yet, no settlement yet. So does he get the benefit of the doubt? It's very sort of, the line is right there, because he's innocent until proven guilty from a criminal standpoint. He has not paid a dollar from a civil standpoint. And the lawyer, see, I'm also a lawyer. The lawyer who these women have hired is the worst type of ambulance chaser who exists in that state. And so the question is, what did he do? But the risk is certainly there because all of us have condemned Watson and said he's guilty. But the truth is he hasn't been shown to be guilty. But why aren't the Texans playing him? What is the reason?
Well, but this whole thing is so layered. That's why I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. Because, David, all the things that you just said, none of which is a defense of Deshaun Watson, all of which is to tell you, well, to date, we don't have something that can be proven. So he is sitting because the Texans are like, we cannot have this around a team. And they've thrown away their season by sitting him with the, they don't have to do that. There's the other complication of all this stuff is partnered and collectively bargained. So you, the union is going to have to fight for him being able to continue to take paychecks. So within all of that though, David, as again, and John McClain has a track record on these things. He's been right. He told you that Deshaun Watson was not going to play this season. He knows what's going on with this team and he's reporting that a Dolphin deal should be done by the end of the week, and the Dolphins would be trading, it would seem to me, David, over the objections of their coach who might be fired and benefit from this. They are hitting their franchise quarterback with a fish across his face after maybe his best game, after three of his offensive linemen are in the top 10 for hurries allowed, so you can't judge what the hell Tua is doing, but he just had his finest games. You'd be giving up after 11 games because the owner is 81 years old, and the it doesn't seem like the fired coach wants to do this. It doesn't seem like Brian Flores wants to be up there, no commenting or trying to talk around it or protecting his boss. This is an unholy quagmire, David, and I don't know what happens in the streets with sports fans if they trade for this guy, because what you are then welcoming is protests you do not want around your stadium the next time that there is a Sunday. If you, there's going to be a scene around this that there isn't around the Texans, because this feels like such a moral affront, even though he's not guilty of anything technically by proof yet.
Let's look at the demographics of the NFL and just ask the following question. You're talking about protests, and as a president of a team, if I've got 10 people holding signs that's covered by the Herald that they're protesting something that I've done, but I have 35,000 people in the stadium and we're headed toward the playoffs, I don't care about the 10 protesters. Let them go, put them on the sidewalk in a cordoned off area, and I'm good. For you to say that Brian Flores objects to Deshaun Watson, Brian Flores objects to losing and the possibility of being fired. He wants to win games, needs to win games. He will take anybody, including people from the California Penal League, if that will help him win games. And when he looks at Tua and looks at Deshaun, he says, wait a minute, I'll take Deshaun, but I'm being told to be quiet here because I want plausible deniability, because this is going to be potentially an owner's prerogative situation.
Mike D'Antoni once said that, hey, I'll play the devil if he can hit shots.
Pat Riley told us that he would play Dwayne Wade in a game 7 if Dwayne Wade punched him in the face and knocked him out in the locker room before the game.
But I guess my question is, David, is that this, you're talking about Deshaun Watson as if he offers a guarantee of winning, which if he were to play, he would. Now, he is coming off a season in which the Texans went 4-12, but I think that's immaterial. I think that the uncertainty around his situation doesn't necessarily mean you're trading for a winning quarterback. You could be trading for a quarterback who's going to jail. You could be trading for a quarterback who's going to be suspended for a year. You could be trading for a quarterback that might not help you win. And so I don't understand why any team would even entertain this until that situation is cleared up.
Is he facing criminal charges?
There's an investigation. There's a criminal investigation going on.
But you're saying something about Watson. I said it earlier. You can't trade for him. Nobody's trading for him until the NFL gives guidance as to what's going to happen. Because if you try to activate him.
So then why is this out there? Like, why are we even talking about this? I'm stunned that this came back because it's come from the Houston media before. It was like 6 weeks ago or so when all of a sudden the Dolphins are interested. Why is this out there again?
David is saying it's to drum up one last bit of interest before the trading deadline on November 2nd. It's to see if you can get a desperate team to bite on something, or it's the only way to, what's the other way to apply pressure?
but it also you have. We're assuming that the NFL is giving guidance. If you're right, Chris, and the NFL is quiet and they're saying, hey, we're waiting for the investigation, he's got to be inactive until the criminal investigation is done, then the Dolphins are trading him in theory because he's a young franchise-type quarterback and Steve Ross is willing to throw away the season because they're already 1-5 and he's looking already toward 2022. Either way, the bottom line for Dolphin fans is all the excitement about Tua is not shared by your front office.
Well, and that's actually what I wanted to ask you about next, because it seemed as though, I remember the year before the Dolphins tanked, there was a lot of reporting that Stephen Ross was behind the notion of a tank because he just wants a franchise quarterback above all else. And he was all the way in on Tua. And yet, you know, 15 months later, we're in a situation where he's all the way out on Tua.
Well, is it possible? Is it at all possible, David, if what you're saying is so, that you would assume before a trade like this that Stephen Ross is talking behind the scenes with Goodell and the investigators? You don't make a move like this and welcome all of this unless you feel like you have a decent idea of what the league is going to do. So my question is, since this season is already lost, is it possible that Ross wants to take the PR hit, trade for him now at the deadline, and just sit him the rest of the season as a punishment and hope that by next season he's not in jail because he's reached some sort of financial settlement with all these women?
It wouldn't be a hope. You would have had the conversation. You're in touch with Watson's lawyer. You're in touch with Watson. No one's trading for him without tampering with him and getting a real understanding, both from the NFL and from Watson's legal camp, of what's happening. I would go so far as to try to even talk to some of the women and their attorney just to see where we are legally. I would also, if I'm Steve Ross, try to get with the district attorney and see where they are in their investigation. And stranger things have happened than DA's office talking to people about where they are with investigations. But if you don't do your due diligence, you can end up getting totally screwed. And for Ross, he can't throw away seasons. Now, frankly, the Dolphins season is probably finished under any scenario, because is Watson ready to play? If they trade for him right now, does he play immediately the next week?
Well, no, but I think what you do is just right there. You trade for him and suspend him for 12 games.
Is there a scenario where the Dolphins are the only ones with information? If there's information out there, wouldn't other teams have it and there'd be more teams interested?
There is no scenario where the Dolphins have the only information.
You can't with the players union sit him upon arrival to give off the appearance that you've punished him, right? There's no way to actually suspend him.
Oh, you can just make him inactive, but
yeah,
which
is what the Texans are doing.
Yeah, it's the same thing the Texans do. It's just money.
No, but I'm saying getting the credit. You're about to take the blowback for trading for someone like this. If the immediate move is to try and punish him more than just inactive, to try and go against the players union, do whatever it is you have to do so that you're saying time served, because Stephen Ross is that kind of desperate. You're saying we've already suspended him for 12 games.
But why would you blow up your quarterback situation this year?
Because the season's over.
But you have a young quarterback who now has 11 remaining games to maybe turn it around. And if your personnel people are telling you, we think in these 11 games, off the evidence of the Jacksonville game, off the evidence of what we've seen, that a comeback for Tua is still around, why would you completely throw away the season even more, start Jacoby Brissett for 11 games, and send Tua to Denver or Washington, as was reported yesterday?
Those reports, everyone has said the reports were false or didn't have the ones to Washington and three-way deals and all of this.
Yeah.
But Dave, this is a startling, this is very quick that this would be happening with Tua. The assessment, I don't believe that it is in any way possible to judge this quarterback based on the things that have been happening around him in the 11 games that he has played, including his offensive linemen being epically bad.
Chris Greer better be careful here, because if they bring in Watson and then don't win, then of course he's gone. But the reality is, in football, you need a franchise quarterback, but it's not enough. It's not like in basketball, you bring in LeBron James, you have a big three, and you're going to make the playoffs no matter what and win a title or two. In football, you need a complete team, and the Dolphins have been unable. Now, they've spent, which is why I guess people in Miami love Steve Ross as an owner, even though he doesn't win. He has no ring. He has no accolades whatsoever, but people love him because he tries. But you need a team around him. And Chris Greer, in theory, is making decisions on the edges that Steve Ross doesn't focus on, and they just haven't worked.
I don't think that the fans love Steve Ross. I think they like what he's done to the stadium. They like that there's a tennis tournament and an F1 race coming. But in terms of running the Dolphins, he's not shown that he can run that organization well. And that's actually the point that I wanted to ask you about next. Because you've talked before on these local hours about dealing, for example, with Mike Ilitch of the Detroit Tigers when he was aging. And you know that you could take advantage of him because he was going to sacrifice the long term for the short term. That's really frustrating to hear as a fan, that the age of the owner is determining some of these decisions. And we're going back and forth, and there's no organizational plan off the basis of how old the owner is. That's really annoying to hear.
I can't believe it's as obvious as the sunrise. If you're an octogenarian owner, you do anything. That's why Scott Boras is so effective with older owners like Ted Lerner of the Nationals and Mike Ilitch of the Tigers, because he'll go up to them and literally say, you know, you're going to die soon. Don't you want a ring? And my guy is going to get you a ring, and that will cement your legacy. What he would say is first line obit guy. This is a first line obit guy, meaning Mike Ilitch, 82, winner, owner of a team that won the World Series in 2015. First line obit guy.
Would he?
That's what Deshaun Watson could be. First line obit for Steve Ross.
Are you seriously? Did you just say, I can't believe owners are impacting why my team does these moves?
No, I mean, it's obvious, but I'm just saying, like, so I should root for a sports team that has a 60-year-old owner instead of an 80-year-old owner? Like, I'm not in control of that. And, like Robert Kraft is the owner of the Patriots. He does not get in there and say, make this short. Like, he allowed Bill Belichick to transition to whatever was next because Bill Belichick has a vision for the team. There are old owners who don't allow their teams to make incredibly short-termist decisions. Stephen Ross is making a bad decision here.
You're comparing Robert Kraft to anybody. He's running out of fingers. That's how many rings Robert Kraft has. You cannot compare an owner who is 80 who hasn't won a ring to a massage-loving owner who is, by the way, that may be a good fit in New England.
Well, let me ask Amin this question, because I think we all understand that when you give Jimmy Butler $50 million at 36 years old and trade for Kyle Lowry, that Pat Riley, who's damn near 80, is like, all his life, I'm all in all the time. He's not here for a rebuilding year.
Yeah, no, there's a point where these people are making moves because they feel like this is what's going to make it happen now, because I don't know. I don't have time to wait later. By the way, Whitty, that happens a lot with general managers who don't know about their longevity, right? Like, I'm not going to make a deal that's great for the organization 5 years from now because I won't be around for it. One of the things when Sam Hinkie was doing what he was doing in Philadelphia and all the nerds like Pablo Torre were cheering and clapping, I told him, hey, these are great moves. Too bad Sam won't be around to see him through. And, oh, no, these owners are different. These are Wall Street guys.
Then they won 11 games in a season, and that quickly changed.
Pretty much.
The biggest example of that in history was Omar Minaya, who was the general manager of the Montreal Expos, who traded three unbelievable players to get Bartolo Colon. Remember Brandon Phillips and two other guys who were really good who I escaped.
But
you're exactly right.
I don't know if I'm remembering this wrong, because Minaya might have been inserted as a general manager by Major League Baseball somewhere else along the line. But did he actually trade away three great prospects because he was just starting his GM career and wanted to make a splash for himself personally in his career?
No, he did it because he thought that the Expos were going to be contracted, which they were never going to be contracted. He was told they weren't going to be contracted. But he also knew that Major League Baseball couldn't stop him from making trades because they were the owner of the team, but they had to appear impartial. So Omar Minaya was willing to just get rid of the whole minor league system because baseball basically said whoever's buying the Expos to move them, which ended up being the Lerner family, they want a team so badly, they're not going to lower the price just because their minor league system stinks. So let's go for it. So they made that amazing trade that pretty much set up Cleveland for almost, you know, 8 years.
Lee. It was Sizemore. It was a ridiculous trade. What else is interesting to you from the Deshaun Watson story that I think I have this right? I haven't seen something like this before. This overt conundrum where your organization is choosing this obviously, And I've been writing about this crap for I don't know how many years, since Don Shula was impinging on his own integrity by bringing in a running back who'd been arrested for having crack rock in his sock. Like, I don't think I've seen this, where the at that position, the desperation of all the layers in power, coach might get fired, owner, mortality, guy might end up in jail, team in an NFL, the team that has him right now in the NFL is throwing away a season, throwing it away, because by choosing to not play a person that has this surrounding him. It is a conundrum unlike anything that I've seen in local sports before.
I believe the reason why you haven't seen it is that the quality of the player we're talking about may be the highest quality of a player who's been in a situation like this.
And that's why it presses against it, though, because you're always on nothing personal and elsewhere. One of the things that makes you unpopular is that you cut right through it, usually. What are you shaking your face at me for?
Why do you need that throwaway line?
One of the reasons you're popular is because people like that you give no BS. One of the reasons you're unpopular is because people don't like that you give no BS. That's why you're polarizing, David. You think a lot of people want to hear daily from someone talking into a microphone for 50 minutes because you're not showing this thing from the insides, like how cold it is, how unemotional it is?
It just seems strange that you lead with unpopular. It's just part of your gig. Whatever, I'm good.
He's not unpopular.
Just stop doing that. Just stop leading. But what you do is you make it's like self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm. You want it to be the case. You want all of the characters in your universe to fit into a certain box.
Absolutely.
And that's the box you've chosen for me. So you lead with it and whatever. It's all good. Happy to be here, Dan.
I don't actually drink. Dead sober for 10 whole years.
It's all a construct. It's witty. Has a hip-hop album that you guys don't know about.
Prolific rapper, actually. It's an incredible secret life.
Chris Cody does experiments at home. Beakers and Bunsen burners. Test tubes.
Mike Ryan doesn't like the Browns.
Hates them.
Roy is a chatterbox. Like, Roy, you can't...
Won't shut
you
up.
You can't shut up. Shut up, Roy.
Got a lot of things to say, man. A lot of opinions.
Bomani and Tony are best friends. Best man at his wedding.
You got to do something about your throat. Are you? Are you? I mean, you have.
Want
you
some tea?
Sound so disgusting.
A lot of heaters over
you
there.
You do not sound like you haven't been drinking the entire time since you tested positive for coronavirus in the 3 weeks you've spent in South Florida. What else is interesting from this, David? What else caught your eye as someone who is fascinated by the machinations of the machine?
The meetings that are taking place between Greer and Flores and Ross, and how often Steve Ross, during the course of his ownership, does what Jeffrey used to do a lot, which is called, I coined it, owner's prerogative, where you explain why a move is bad and an owner says, I don't care, I am doing this. But the difference is when we tell an owner not to do something, we actually think it's not good for the team on the field. There is times when I would pull him aside and say, just be aware of what the PR is. Before the Blue Jays trade in 2012, I said, are you aware of what this is going to look like by doing a mass deal like this where we could do a slow bleed, trade him one at a time over the course of the next few months? But by making this trade, it takes pressure off us because the payroll gets lowered in one fell swoop. So there are PR times when you advise an owner. And then there are on-field times when your baseball people or football people are telling you what is in the best interest of the on-field product. And a team's success is based on how and when an owner pays attention to his advisors and which advisors he chooses to listen to in a particular situation. Because most owners, 98% of owners I have come across, which is all of the baseball owners, when they want to do something, they wait for the confirmation bias. They go around and look for an advisor who will agree with what they're saying. And then they say, this is not owner's prerogative. This is what's best for the team. But it's really a bunch of crap.
The wildly popular David Sampson with us here. If you want to check out his wildly popular podcast, Nothing Personal Is It. I'm going to put you on the spot, David. It is you. It is you as the president of the Dolphins. You are sandwiched between the coach power and the owner power. You are the bridge. You are the liaison. In this circumstance, knowing what it is that you know, you are going to your owner saying what, and what are you doing if he tells you to go bleep yourself?
Well, let's start with the second one first. If he tells me to go bleep myself, what do I care? I'm paid to give my opinion of what I would do. And in this situation, I would tell him to trade for Deshaun Watson because I wouldn't have taken two in the first place. And we have not done anything but lose. And let's just try to win because winning covers all sins. And our market will love us if we start winning. And they will forget the fact that he is a potential felon.
Who would you have taken over Tua? I love that you're an NFL
draft Nick over here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, was that for me?
No, yeah. I'm just like, you said you wouldn't have taken Tua. And I just was like, were you a Herbert guy? Like, what was going on there?
I was a Burrow guy. No, I wouldn't have tanked for Tua.
Oh, tanked for Tua. I'm not sorry, a
believer. I'm not a believer that you purposely lose on the thought just because I'm so crazed by the draft in Major League Baseball. And in NFL, you're actually more apt to get a player who will be helpful and who is as good as you think. In baseball, you are not. So the being accused of tanking to try to get a higher pick in baseball always bothered me because front offices never thought that way. Because it's such a pot luck whether or not the person you draft, even in the number one hole, is going to be a good, impactful player. But in football, to tank for a quarterback, you better be right. And I don't know if they're right or wrong because it's too early.
Just so you know, as you badger me about popular or unpopular, you realize you just put your name and voice on something that no one's putting their name and voice on. Chris Cody yesterday, when we're doing this baseball YouTube show with Mike Schur, he wanted to give that opinion and close to that opinion, not that firmly, and he got scared of it and was doing jazz hands because he has given up on Tua.
It's not that I wanted to give that opinion. It's just I look around the league and I see other dudes that have done bad things and people aren't judging those fan bases. So I'm just saying, if I'm the Dolphins, I could see where they're saying...
You didn't say any of that. You just were scared of the entire topic. But Samson, you've said it. Nobody's saying what you're saying is, I trade for him. Not even the Dolphins. The Dolphins are like, I don't know what to do here.
They're not the defending Super Bowl champions. They stink, and they've been bad for so long.
I know, but he's not playing now because he stinks. It's because there's a moral smell around him that simply can't be abided by a cutthroat corporation and all of its entities, all of whom are staying away from the stink around that value, except possibly one, David. Like,
there's only one cologne, Dan, one cologne, and that is winning.
Plenty winning. Of teams need a quarterback, David. Half the teams in the league would love... 25 teams in the league would want to have that quarterback. They would trade their quarterback for that quarterback. 25 of them.
Okay.
But
no, it's a good point. Like, why are the Dolphins the only one? I guess would be the point. Like, are there not other, like, David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, he wants to do anything he can. He's put $2 billion into that team. He's trying to build a winner. He's gotten he paid tons of money for the coaching staff, you know, got rid of Teddy Bridgewater. Sam Darnold, can he be the franchise quarterback? He completed less than half of his passes on Sunday, and yet Carolina is the one, they're not in it. Why are the Dolphins the only team in it? Why are they the only ones that are on the brink of sacrificing their morals to this degree?
Where's Billy Corbin? The answer is because Miami. You're dealing with totally different fan bases. Look at Miami fan base. You think that they wouldn't forgive Deshaun Watson if he comes in and brings them to the playoffs?
Can we create a fragrance called winning around here? I want to make the Adam Driver commercial where I'm running next to a horse shirtless on the beach because we're going to make the fragrance winning. David, I do believe it's surprising to hear you say I would advise taking the guy. And that's cutting through it, right? Because you're saying, hey, business, not morality. You're saying nothing personal, but you're saying it more bravely without the consequences of doing it and then taking the PR hit that's coming, which is going to have, you know, hashtag me too all over it. You do not want that near your huddle. These people are not equipped.
Yeah, I'm less interested in what's near my huddle. I'm interested in the plays that are being called and whether or not they can be effectively executed. And so if he can play now, the caveat, and this is not me backpedaling in any way, if Roger Goodell has said to him, hey, not only is there a likelihood he's not playing this year, there's a likelihood that he is going to be charged, convicted, and will be in prison for 2 to 5 years.
No, but Dave,
that would change my mind.
But that can't be, right? Because nobody's going to have better access to accurate information about this. Nobody than Stephen Ross and the Houston Texans, correct?
Correct.
You're telling me, I don't know how that part stayed quiet, but you're telling me that these investments are so large that, hell yes, you got to go talk to the district attorney. Hell yes, you got to get your fingerprints like inside the justice system so you're actively involved with something that'll even feel more immoral than what we're talking about, because you have to know. You have to, if it's going to be millions and millions of dollars in your franchise, you can't be guessing about what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson.
And the other thing I need to point out is when Stephen Ross is doing his estate planning and his lawyer comes up to him and they're talking about the value of his estate and the value of the Dolphins, you trade for Deshaun Watson and let's pretend that he does go to prison for 5 to 10 years and he never plays, and let's pretend they trade away 17 first round draft picks and that they never win another game. The value of his team has not gone down by a dollar.
David, the Ben Simmons saga, he reports, and the whispers were that he was under the impression that
Jesus Christ, I mean, what, Ben Simmons, your thoughts?
No. The whispers are he was under the impression that his
father, like, clear your throat. Like, I just did. Clear your throat.
I did.
I gave you a cuppa. At least he used the coffee.
Just do not actively disgust the audience during early morning hours.
Theater of the mind, and they didn't hear it. It was I hit the call button.
No, it wasn't obvious at all that you were coming in stilted and a lot slower than everything that was happening around here, wheezing and coughing.
Fair enough. David, the whispers are that he was under the impression that he was going to get the fine money back from the games that he was suspended, right? And if so, if that's true, that would be a really big mess up by his agent. So I was curious, what's a time where you were dealing with an agent where they messed up because they didn't understand the rules?
Oh, God, we had an agent who did not. The Carl Pavano situation is one of the great ones of all time. His agent forgot to submit a no trade list. So when you get a no trade list, the rules are by a certain date, you have to submit the teams that you do not want to be traded to. And if you do not submit it by the exact date that you're supposed to, then that clause in the contract disappears. There have been agents who have told their players that they will be Super 2 arbitration eligible. And that means that you get paid more money earlier than you normally would, a full year earlier. And the agents made the wrong calculation because you don't know the calculation until the season ends. But I've had players come up to me and say, yeah, you know, I'm Super 2. Don't send me down. Ozuna did this. Ozuna did not want to be sent down. Remember when we sent him down just to manipulate his service time?
What a great sentence. Remember when we sent him down just to manipulate his service time?
I'm not in the game. No, I can tell you exactly what we did.
It's so dirty. It is so,
it's not dirty. It is. That's dirty business.
It's happening to Marvin Bagley in the NBA.
With the Kings?
Yeah, his qualifying offer. The qualifying offer, which is the offer they have to give you at the end of your rookie scale to basically retain your restricted free agency rights, it's dependent on how many minutes and how many games you played in that last year. And so if he doesn't play 41 games, it goes from $14 million, I think, to like $7 million. And so that's why his agent comes out and does this huge thing about this is a case study in mismanagement, da da da. No, it's not. They're just manipulating his number.
I'm covering that on today's Nothing Personal, that exact topic, because it is so brilliant for the agent to come out. Jeff Schwartz, who's an accomplished agent in the NBA, mm-hmm. by the way, he comes out, he starts accusing the Kings of mismanagement. It's the opposite of mismanagement. It's exactly the right way to manage a team, but there's nothing Schwartz can do. There's nothing Marvin Goddens can do. He is going to ride pine the entire season. He got a DNP CD on opening night last night, and this is no schlep. But Luke Walton says, oh, we're going small ball. Uh-huh. No, they're going save $7 million ball.
Look at how excited. Look at how excited he gets over a corporation just being assholes and cheap. He's like, yes, do not play a player that is good because you save $7 million. You are delighted. And Kings fans should be like, my God, these people are awful.
No. Did the Kings win last night?
They did.
Yes, they did. Is there a chance the Kings are 1 to 2 games better with him in the lineup every day? 1 to 2 games, just out of curiosity.
Well, wait a minute. We just got done saying that you sacrifice anything for a guy that it can make your team a little bit better with the Dolphins, but Bagley doesn't make them better enough?
if you are comparing Bagley to the Kings as Watson to the Dolphins.
No, I'm comparing the morality. No, I'm comparing the morality sacrificed. I'm comparing what you're willing to take on. One move makes you look cheap. The other one makes you, as an organization, look like you haven't a moral in your body.
I'm literally not following what you're saying.
That the reason that people aren't lined up trading for Deshaun Watson is because of how it will make you look as an organization, cheapened at the soul, not cheapened with the money.
That's not why. Well, he said why. The reason why is because we don't know if he's going to play. If you could guarantee me Deshaun Watson was going to play, this stuff is behind him, or at least it's just staying in the civil side.
But you guys just said
you guys just said
that ownership has a better idea of what that guarantee is than anybody. That the power and the money that's talking about this stuff can get into the legal system, mm-hmm. can talk to the lawyer of the women bringing the charges and find out how to resolve this.
But that doesn't mean that there is a resolution. That means they have access to it in a way that normal people don't. Yes, I agree. But it's possible the DA's office doesn't know what they're doing. It's possible the lawyer for the women is saying, listen, we're holding out for as much money as we can. And if you can get a deal done, we are ready to walk away for nine figures. All of that is possible, but that doesn't mean it's happened. But that has nothing to do with the Sacramento Kings situation. They're not comparable in any way.
Let's review the movie that you have for us this week as we continue and we finish up here. Thank you, David. This was very good. I imagine that people are starved for the inner workings of how this Deshaun Watson thing would end up working, because the Miami Dolphins are the only team credibly associated with any of this, as the news comes out from a credible reporter in Houston that it would appear the Texans want out now. As they've thrown away a season by doing the correct moral thing, because you guys ignore that while teams aren't trading for them, David, would Deshaun Watson be playing for you right now? Would you be pushing the envelope that far, not even making him inactive and playing him?
Thank you for asking that. No one's asked that yet. And the answer is yes.
Bang.
You'd be playing him. So Houston is doing something. That look at you, proud of him for being a corporate gangster.
I want to work for David Samson. And that's my president, bold and fearless like that. I want to work for that guy.
And these are the things that make him the wildly popular David Samson. Every Thursday on the Dan Lebatard Show with Stu Gatz.
What is the movie that you're reviewing this week?
I want to talk about something a little more serious. It's a documentary called Jacinta. And I don't know if anybody has seen it.
More serious than Deshaun Watson?
It is. Well, listen, what Deshaun Watson did, if he did it, is incredibly serious. And I'm watching being judged here by Jessica and the rest of the group. I am not in any way condoning what he did off the field stretch.
Well, let's do this now, because this is the thing. And now we can't hide this anymore. Jessica's been making faces for the last 15 minutes here,
yes.
Not wanting to talk on the show, but wanting to talk on the show. And I've told her before, Jessica, if you're going to make faces reacting to the show, I need to be able to go to you when you make one of those faces. You have actively pushed away from this conversation while making faces for the last 15 minutes of it.
Well, I came in late, and so I don't know what's already been covered, and I don't want to have to like go back in circles with David or with you and you know, the audience, and they've already heard all of this. So I don't want to
put you in the position of always, like, this stinks for you, okay? Because you're with a bunch of dudes and these conversations come up and it requires a female presence. It really does. And I can't always put you in the spot where you have to, but you've recused yourself from this one because you've made faces on a lot of what David's saying. And I'm not, to me, this is cold-blooded. It's corporate. It's honest. It's awful. But that's what's happening right now around the Miami Dolphins and Deshaun Watson. And the Dolphins would be telling the women in their audience who wear those jerseys as the NFL tries to buy women, hey, we don't care so much about this. It doesn't matter that much what he's accused of.
But it shouldn't just be the women. Like, this isn't an issue among women. This is an issue among men. Why is it on the women to have a moral conflict all the time? Like, they're not the ones who are being accused of the crime.
Because dudes are dumb.
And in charge.
It's a terrible excuse.
Oh, and care about football more than this stuff. I mean,
care about football too.
No, but
more than things that humans should care about. That's the problem.
Wait a minute. I don't think it's quite that caveman. I don't believe everyone in our audience, all the men listening here, are just shrugging their shoulders and saying, you got to trade for Deshaun Watson. But it's why I find this line so interesting, because all of you listening who are willing to trade for Deshaun Watson, somewhere inside you, you're making a compromise on a principle. And you may make it consciously, I care about my football team. But you're not making it as consciously as I care about my football team more than I care about women.
But that line is why it's even possible, right? Mike and I have been going back and forth in the Zoom chat about, you know, would I do this? So I'm a Dolphins fan. I've bemoaned the lack of quarterbacks that I've had for 22 years that I've been supporting the Miami Dolphins. Would I do this? My answer would be no, but I get to get off on a technicality because I don't know what his future is as a quarterback. That's my answer is I wouldn't want him because he might be in jail. But if you said make a moral choice, he's on your team. You're watching him succeed for your team on Sundays. How long is it going to take for you to start rooting for him? I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I hope as a human being that my answer would be never, but I can't guarantee that.
Witty, this is the easiest way to place it. If I told you, I got out the DeLorean, Doc Brown is with me, just came from the future, Deshaun Watson, not going to go to jail, and also, he's amazing.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to believe that I still care about those women. Like those women have done something incredibly brave. They've done something that is incredibly hard, and they are going through it by having this guy being talked about as a quarterback instead of as a despicable person.
Jessica, I want to be very clear on something, and it's important. I want to talk to just you here. This is not me telling you that what Deshaun Watson did, if he did it, is acceptable or right, or that I want a player on my team who treats women that way. I am talking about the reality of what it is inside a locker room, the reality of what it is inside an owner's mind and a president's mind when we are paid to increase the value of our franchise, and that gets increased by winning. Now, I am not willing to ever say to you that the way he treats women, if he did, which I assume he did, because there's 22 of them, it's like Harvey Weinstein, right? Although he's been convicted, but so that's a very big difference in and of itself. So Jessica, please do not think that for one minute I believe that the mistreatment of women in any way, whether it's equal pay, any sort of gender equality, and this is not me trying to get points with you, Jessica, because we've gotten off to a bad start just to begin with from a generational standpoint, if not a sort of the man-woman dynamic here. But I can tell you that you're shaking your face is because you're not hearing often enough from people who have been where I've been telling you exactly what they think and how they act.
I understand the reality of sports. Like, I've never run a sports team like you, but I understand that that's the reality. I've watched sports long enough and been a journalist long enough that I understand that that's how these teams act and behave. That doesn't mean that it can't change. It doesn't mean that we should just all accept being fans of a league that talks out of both sides of its mouth.
The NFL has been talking out of both sides of its mouth for so long that I since the Houston Oilers existed, and that's just not going to change. And the reason it's not going to change is that money talks and sponsors don't walk away. Now, the example where there was a problem, go to the Washington football team when the sponsors started pulling out, when the pressure got so large that they had to change the name. When that sort of pressure gets exerted, that's when change comes. But the NFL has already shown they will take domestic abusers. They will take people who treat women badly, and they will let them play as long as they're good. They've already shown that, Jessica.
Jessica, as a Steelers fan, how did you feel about Ben Roethlisberger and the things that he was accused of doing?
I we've talked about this on the show before, but like, I didn't speak out about that because I was in middle school.
I'm not talking about at the time. I mean, last 5 years, you've been a grown up. You've been employed in sports journalism. You're still a Steelers fan as they were playing the dude.
Yeah. And I've said on the show that it puts all of the fans of that sport and that team and most teams in an incredibly uncomfortable position to have to weigh their morals every time that they go to a game or buy a ticket or buy a piece of merchandise.
And that's the line Witty's talking about. That's the line.
But this is currently happening right now.
I mean, I don't think it should matter whether it happened years ago or it's happening right now.
But if it does in terms of we're talking about it because it's newsworthy.
Like, No, absolutely. I'm just saying in terms of the moral conundrum to me doesn't expire because, that was years ago, right?
No, of course not. I feel the moral conundrum, trust me.
But that's the point. It's a conundrum and not a, oh, no, but absolutely not.
Is it
but a conundrum
it is right now when he's not playing and someone wants to sign him. There's a difference because he's not on a he's on a roster, but he's not playing and a team wants to trade for him. That's why we're talking about it right now.
Jessica, you're the reason why I'm trading for Watson because you just said, yeah, it's a conundrum, but yeah, I still root for the Steelers because the Steelers are good and I want them to win and he gives us the best chance to win.
Okay, this puts me in an impossible position because you're trying to catch me in like some sort of lie that I don't care about.
No, I don't think that's... No. I don't think... No. If I may speak, if I may mansplain what it is that Samson and Amin are doing, because I think that, that what's happening here is they're not trying to call you on a hypocrisy. They're just saying as a fan, as a someone as a customer in the emotion business who's a Steeler fan and still has been at quarterback, how do you wrestle with the moral conundrum? If the reason he's giddily pointing at you is saying, look, you're the customer, you're emotional, you're outraged by this, but not so outraged that you're actually leaving, taking your dollars with you. Like, that's, I think, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not calling me out as a hypocrite, but I get this on social media, like, every time we talk about Deshaun Watson, every time we talk about any athlete, and I try to say morally how I feel. Like, it's exhausting.
Sorry, Jessica. It shouldn't be that case. And I'm not...
But this isn't even about me. Like, I'm not the victim here. There are plenty of victims in this case. I'm obviously not one of them. I'm just telling you that Deshaun Watson is in the news right now because he might get traded to a team in Miami where we all live. And so my view on this stance is that I think it is a disservice to the victims who have accused him of these crimes to sign him when this is an unprecedented amount of claims being set against him. And yes, there are dozens of other NFL players in the league who people root for who have, you know, done also very bad things. There's one of them on the team that I root for. But that doesn't change that I still think that this case is bad. Like, I don't condone it. I wouldn't want him on my team.
She's also on a show, David, that if this is a trial balloon at any point over the last 6 weeks to see what the reaction is, this show right here, because it's got two executives in the middle of it, and you and Amin are sitting here saying, look, this is what corporations do, as Jessica's here saying, well, do you want it to stay the same? Because you guys are the guys in charge on all of this. You guys, it's always people who look like us who are running these franchises. So do you want it to change? Well, how about you make a stink? How about you say you can't do this? How about you show some sort of morality around this? That would make a difference, but then it would also be Jessica costing the Dolphins their quarterback.
And perhaps David and my job. That's the other thing. Because that plays in. It's like, do you want to be a hero? Or do you want to keep your job? And sometimes people make that decision.
I feel like we just got in big trouble. Jessica's so angry. I can see it on the little screen.
This is why
right
I was
here.
Making faces and not turning on my mic, because I wanted to finish my espresso, Dan, and eat my oatmeal bar, and then start my morning civilly. I wasn't even going to be here till 9, till David was done. And you know what? You just couldn't handle seeing my faces and not saying anything.
Because that voice, I've got 17 dudes talking around here about something that's affecting Miami that I've never seen before 30 years in this town. And you're making faces and I'm not keeping you out of the conversation. I'd love to hear from you, but I also don't want to put you in the position where you're the position that will make this audience fight with you on Twitter because you're the woke woman coming in and changing how guys talk about things in the locker room. Like, I don't want to put you in that position either, but then don't make the faces near the microphone.
You ruined sports, Jessica.
So it's my fault for making faces.
Smile more. Why don't you smile?
Thank you. You're right. Next time I'll smile more.
Why your fault? I'm happy to have heard your perspective. I think it's necessary. Like, I think people need to hear it because it wasn't being expressed by anyone in this room, because at least in part, I look at Amin and David and I love how they cut through the bullshit of this is just business. It ain't about your morals. It ain't about your demographics. It ain't about anything other than I need to win to save my job. It's that cold at the center of it.
But why am I the only one who has the opinion that I have in this room? Like, I don't know. I don't understand.
I think Witty was talking about it. I think he has the same opinion as you do. It's just that idea that it's a moral conundrum and not a cut and dry, hell no, I'll never watch this game again. I think that's the biggest thing, because it's easy for people to conceptualize evil versus good, right? But the reality is all of this is happening in the shades of gray. Right? and not because of any sort of you know, beyond the innocent before proven guilty. I think we all wrestle with things that we like that are bad. We've talked about, me and Michael talk about, we love Chick-fil-A Polynesian sauce. I know what Chick-fil-A's politics are. It's awful. It is awful, their beliefs about people in the LGBTQ community. But I also like Polynesian sauce. And that's something I wrestle with every time I go to Chick-fil-A. It happens in so many parts of our iPhones. Like, hey, I hate sweatshop labor. I hate people being exploited. But also, I like having an iPhone.
And you wear Nike shoes.
And wear Nike shoes.
I totally agree with you that there being an ethical consumer in a capitalistic society is impossible. It's impossible. But this is one specific example of a specific thing that's happened that affects all of us. And this is my opinion on it. Like, you can ride the slippery slope whataboutism argument train about Amazon, about Publix, about Whole Foods, like any company that you buy from, anything you consume, any sport that you watch, any player that you like. I'm just giving you my opinion on this current situation, which I view as a pretty big black eye on the league if Deshaun Watson does get traded right now.
It is hard to say. You know how I don't want to be that absolute about some of these things, but when it came to what was happening on the Trump platform and what was happening in this country, I was like, if you ride with this, you don't actually care that much about race as an issue. Just, it's not... You don't care because you're not paying attention. You can defend and rationalize however you want. And I don't see how it is that it isn't hurtful to see that the examples are this extreme, where you have this many women and an organization throwing away its season because they won't play this dude. And then the moral compromise of, but we'll trade for him, to arrive at, well, you don't actually care about women that much. Like, you could market to them and you could identify them as a demo that you want to save football because you need kids playing this 20, 30 years from now.
But to Jess's point, it's not just you don't care about women, it's you don't care about people. You don't care about anything other than your business.
I mean, John Gruden just got fired, and part of the reason why was that he was sending topless photos of team cheerleaders with an executive of an NFL team.
That is not why John Gruden got fired. John Gruden got fired because Daniel Snyder was not going to get fired, because they needed to somehow have a Lee Majors situation in the NFL, and John Gruden was as good as it was going to get. And we saw behind the scenes when Mark Davis basically went public saying, hey, you chose my guy out of all the people to possibly fire. You made me fire Gruden. That's why Gruden got fired.
Okay, it's a pedantic argument, but my point is that there are executives in the NFL who are treating women poorly in their emails at the highest levels.
Yes.
David,
I'm sorry.
You dropped a Lee Majors reference there, and I believe 98% of the audience
haven't a clue what you're talking about.
$6 million man, you don't know who that is.
No, the Fall Guy.
Was he an executive for the Houston Oilers?
Lee Majors was in a show called The Fall Guy with Heather Thomas, and the concept of a fall guy is a very significant concept in the corporate world and the sports world, because when something like that happens with the emails and with the WFT situation, there has to be a fall guy, a fall person, and that's what John Gruden was.
Finish your thoughts, David, on the movie, please.
It's a movie called Jacinta. It's a true story. It's a documentary about a woman who is a mother who is a generational drug addict and is in prison with her mother the same way, like in The Name of the Father with Pete Postlewaite and Daniel Day-Lewis. And then she gets out, and it is a movie about the opioid addiction, the heroin addiction. And I don't think we talk enough about it. And I reviewed on Nothing Personal Goliath season 4, which with Billy Bob Thornton, which was about the big pharma and about Oxy, and with the Tyler Skaggs death and all the hockey player who just died with fentanyl and cocaine, all of this that is going on is such a major issue. And this documentary really gets inside. Somehow they found the right person to follow for a number of years, that this addiction is so significant, whether it's heroin or whether it's Oxy or pills, whatever the case may be, that if you want to talk about what our society needs to take care of, while there's so many important issues, the addiction issue is so significant because these people have no chance, no chance at all to be productive members of society, to be mothers. She couldn't mother her own child because of her addiction, and it was heartbreaking. It's called Jacinta, and if you're ever thinking about popping a pill or you're popping extra pills after you're no longer hurt, watch a documentary like this.
David, thank you for the time. I am sure the audience appreciates some of this stuff discussed so plainly. Thank you, sir.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.